Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. My name is Scott Klein, your host, and I'm excited to welcome Sunil to the show. Sunil, welcome to the show.
Scott, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here. My name is Sunil Agarwal, and I'm a program manager with SQL Server. And today we will talk about column store technology.
Awesome. So this has been around since 2012.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Exactly what is it, and why did we even implement something like that?
Sure. So the column store technology was focused on addressing the data warehouse customers. So as you know, in this real world, the data is growing and growing and growing. It is becoming so large, and people who are managing the data warehouse want to store that, and they want to store it in a more efficient way. And as data becomes larger, it is even harder to do the query on it.
Yep.
So what, as a DBA or as a database administrator, you want is to compress the data as best as you can while maintaining good query performance.
Yep.
And the column store technology gives us those two things. You get 10x or better compression,
mm-hmm.
and you can get, of course, the compression depends on the type of the data,
yeah.
and you can get up to 10x query performance,
okay.
even more. So.
So what was it, when it first came out in 2012, what did we have? Because I know that they made improvements in 2014, correct? So what did they change in 2014 over 2012?
Right. So the column store technology is actually part of our in-memory initiative. So the column store technology in 2012, what you could do was to create a column store index
mm-hmm.
on a traditional row store.
Okay.
That was a non-cluster index. But the limitation was it was read-only.
Yeah.
So you could not make any changes to the table, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But this worked well for a lot of customers because the data warehouse kind of scenario, once you load the data, you don't change that much.
Okay.
But the key point was it was read-only. And people said, in my data warehouse, I keep loading the data in a trickle insert way, or I sometimes make changes. It is just too much of pain to just go and remove the index, make the change, recreate the index, and so on and
yeah.
so forth.
Okay.
So that was a limitation. So then in 2014, when we came out with a updatable cluster column store index, and what it was is it was the only index you needed on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So you did not need a row store at all.
Interesting.
Okay. And we allowed you to do inserts while you could query it. So it was like you are inserting the data and you're querying it. So if you think of a traditional data warehouse, data is coming either yeah. nightly or hourly or every 10 minutes. The data is coming into the table, and you have a column store index, and you are querying it. So as a user, you can query the data as it comes, and that's a very powerful
yeah.
scenario.
Yeah.
And with the cluster column store index, we could get up to 10x better compression, which
yeah.
was not possible with a non-cluster column store index, because non-cluster column store index was on top of a row store.
Yep.
So whatever space was taken by the row store is taken by the row store.
Yep.
And then you just add on top of that, which was
yeah.
like a, yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
yeah. But with the improvements in 2014, you're getting up to 10x just because you're leveraging, if I heard you right, you were leveraging some of the in-memory
technologies.
Right. Right.
So I think the key the thing is, number one, with a cluster column store index, that's the only index you need. So
yeah.
there's no row store. So all that storage is gone. And then you don't need any other index because this index is self-sufficient
yep.
and you can run queries, all kinds of queries. So it has actually been
Perfect.
A very popular one.
Okay.
And in fact, the cluster column store index is our default storage module for APS. NPD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I don't
yeah.
think many people know that.
Yeah.
That's good to know. All right, so there's been a lot of talk around kind of what might be coming in SQL Server V next. Or whatever they're going to call that. So, what changes are they making? So, the column store is very powerful, right? Very from a data warehousing perspective. A lot of people, you know, very useful. What changes are you making, and what can you tell us for the next version of SQL Server from the column store index side?
Right. So, actually, this is something we are really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We are making tons of changes, and there are many factors why we made those changes. First of all, the column store technology with the SQL Server 2014 is getting a lot of traction because it's updatable column store.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So as people are using it, we are getting their feedback in terms
mm-hmm.
of like, how do I monitor performance? How do I troubleshoot? So we are learning a lot about customer workloads and addressing those needs, number
yep.
one, right? And second thing is we are continue to invest in improving performance.
Mm-hmm.
So we are investing a huge amount of resources to make column store perform even better. So for example, window aggregates, that's a very common scenario that you do with data warehouses. You want to run things like running totals and things like that.
Yep.
Those kind of queries were, you could run in column store 2014, but they were not as performance efficient. So we are making changes so they can run 4 to 10 times faster.
Right.
So that's that.
Okay.
Second thing was, like, people wanted to run queries on a column store index, which could be like equality search. I mean, you want to do some short range. For example, if you are doing a drill down, so you say, show me the data for the whole quarter, now I want to drill down to like the week and the day and whatever, right?
The hour,
so as you narrow down your search area, the column store in 2014 was not as efficient. So what we are providing is, we are providing a way to create your traditional B3 indexes on top of cluster column store index.
Really?
So this is actually reverse. So previously what you could do, you had a traditional B3 indexes, and you create a column store on top of that as a non-cluster column store index. But now what we are saying is, you create your base storage as column store index, and then you create a non-cluster B3 index on top of that.
On top of that.
So now what happens is, since you have a non-cluster B3 index, you could search using B3 and get to the right row that you want, or you can even use range search over there to have a narrow ranges.
Interesting.
So those things are giving us a huge performance. And on top of that, what happens is this, this B3 index is allowing us to enforce primary key, foreign key constraints, which was not possible in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, a huge thing.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
So your focus really then, what you're saying is just kind of, it was a significant performance improvement from 2012, 2014. And
that's
what you're
right.
saying is that you're even making it even better from 2014 into the next, new version.
So one of the things that I forgot to mention was, if you have used Column Store 2014 in always on configuration, you could not offload your analytics to the readable secondary.
Okay.
So that was a limitation. So that limitation is gone. So now, if you can just run your column store, and if you have always on configuration, you can even offload your workload to the secondary. Yeah. So that gives you a scale out model.
Yep.
So if you have always on, that's huge.
Right. So in this scenario, like you hear, sir, how's it different? So what you were showing us is in 2012, this is you're basically row based,
right?
Going in, and 2014 and going forward.
That's right.
Right.
So what Scott, what I'm showing here is, like, this is your traditional storage, which is the row storage.
Yep.
Essentially, what happens is you have a page. SQL Server has 8K page size, so you're storing rows one at a time until the page becomes full. Then you go to the next page and on, right? Exactly.
Yep. Typical standard.
So if you look at a traditional data warehouse, you have fact tables, which are fat.
Very large.
They are big, very large tables. And they have lots of columns, right? I mean, they have like 50 to 100 columns, right?
Yeah.
So if you imagine you're putting fact tables in a row store, you may be able to put maybe 5 or 10 rows per page, and it's on and on, right? And now the most interesting thing about column store is, like, the data warehouses, when people query it, they're not looking for all the columns. They are saying, show me the data for this product, for this quarter, that,
right? Yeah, a very small percentage of the data they're looking for.
That's right. So with the row store, what happens is, when you do that query, if you are looking for millions of rows, and you're looking for column one and column three, guess what? All the columns have to be fetched, because row contains all the columns.
You
just write. So that was a challenge. Now, the row store is a very challenging, good technology. It is suited for OLTP workload, because OLTP workload does not operate on a lot of data. They operate on very few rows, and then you can work on it, right? So that's why we believe that the row store is not a suitable technology for data warehouse. So what column store does, it almost like reverses the storage model. So what you do is, instead of storing data as rows, you're storing as columns. So this is what we are doing, is that in this table I'm showing you six columns, so five columns. But the data actually is stored as columns. So now what happens is, because it is stored as columns, the values within the column are very similar. So for example, the column being a state, all of us will have the same state, like Washington. So I can compress the data really, really well. I can get amazing amount of compression. And that's why we are seeing that the column store gives you huge compression. So that is one key benefit. The second benefit is, if I'm running my query, and imagine this is a fact table with 100 columns, and I just want column C1 and C4, I just can fetch only those two
columns. Go get those two columns.
I don't have to worry about C2, C3, and
whatnot. So my query performance just goes dramatically improved.
That's right, because I'm not doing any IOs. So that's that. And finally, what we have done in this technology, which I think is unique in the industry for us, we provide a very efficient query model, which we call batch processing. What batch processing is doing is, imagine this, right? In a column store, in the data warehouse, you're munching billions of rows, right? You are applying predicates one row at a time. That is slow. So what we have done is, we have something called batch mode processing, in which we process a set of rows together. So what happens is, on average, we can process like 900 rows or less, something like that. but you are saying apply the predicate on this 900 rows. Yeah. When you apply the predicate, you get the qualifying rows that way. So basically, you are getting economics of scale to applying the data predicates at a very large set. So those are giving us huge amount of performance.
And this is how it is today.
This is how it is today.
2014.
That's right. Okay. So the fundamental of column store has not changed.
Right.
I mean, this is something that we are building on top of that. So what we are building is, we are providing the batch mode operation that I just talked about to more and more operators. I talked about Windows aggregates.
Yep.
We are going to do for sort.
Okay.
Sort was not actually batch mode, but now it is batch mode.
Right.
Right. I talked about creating a non-cluster index on top of cluster column store index that can give you query performance for equality in the range predicates. Those are pretty good.
Yep.
And we are also doing something very interesting. What we are doing is, we are pushing aggregates. Like typically when you run your data warehouse, you say, show me the average by this quarter and whatnot, right? So aggregate operator was at a higher level than storage. So what we are doing is, in cases, we are pushing aggregate down to the storage. So what happens is, we do aggregates where the data is.
Right.
So with that, we are able to see 2 to 4 times better performance of the same aggregate. So that's again, on top of batch mode processing, we are seeing that performance gain. And also one of the things that we found out, which actually was very, very critical for our customers, that string predicates, like a lot of data warehouses have string columns, right? We were not able to process string predicates in a very efficient way. So now we are doing is, we are even pushing string predicates down to the storage, and we can process the data much, much faster. So these kind of things are giving us much, much better performance.
Yeah, so with 2014, you said you were getting like a 10 times performance, but by moving a lot of these aggregates down to the data, right, and letting the engine really do a lot of the work, you're getting much more than 10 times.
Well, so there's a caveat on that. I mean, the thing is, the things that were running in batch mode, they're going to run in batch mode regardless. So they get what performance they get. But if you had a query tree or queries that did not take advantage of the batch mode processing because it was not available, like sort or Windows aggregate.
Yes.
So those queries are also coming in line with the processing that we have.
I see,
So that's what we are doing.
So you're getting better than...
But your overall workload, I think you're absolutely right. Overall workload, because which has mix of everything.
Yep.
So you will see overall better performance.
Better performance, yeah.
Exactly.
And that was a move for the SQL VNX, right?
That's right, exactly.
Improving even up beyond the 10 times better performance.
That's right. I think what you should do is, when you run the workload, with when you move from 14 to VNext, you should see the workload is performing even better.
Yep.
And what we are saying is, it'll be more predictable performance. That's actually very important for our customers. And it is much easier to support.
Well, that's a good question too, because you're saying, for example, well, I guess the my question would be, is there, let's say they go from upgrade from 2014 to SQL VNext. To get some of the improved performance for that VNext is going to offer, do they need to make any changes? Or like, for example, you said, hey, you can now create a B-tree index on top of a column store index.
Correct.
Do they need to do that? Or is there any changes they need to make to their existing column store to get to see those improved, additional performance? Or will they just by upgrading see those additional performance increases?
The great question. So one of the things in SQL team, we go to great lengths to make our functionality available without any changes to the application, because that makes adapting to the new release much easier, So the query performance gains I talked about, Windows aggregates or sort and a few other things like aggregate pushdown, those things happen automatically.
Okay,
when you go to SQL VNext and you're running a workload, we expect if you're using those operators, you should see a better performance.
Right.
No changes, right?
Perfect, okay.
Right, so that's great. Now, for taking advantage of the non-cluster index-based performance, or the primary key foreign key constraints, of course, you have to create those indexes, You have to create those indexes.
That makes sense.
But that does not mean any changes to the application. It's just the changes to the metadata. So you create those, and you run your workload like before, and you're fine.
So you'll have to just do a few, if you want to like take advantage of those primary foreign key, things like that, you'll still have to create those.
And for example, we talked about the always on configuration.
Yep.
It should just happen automatically. If you had always on configuration today in 14 and it was not offloading the query workload on the column store, it will
do that automatically, pick that up and do that
today.
That's good.
One actually interesting thing that came out, it's very important, because we have now B-tree indexes on column store index, it allows us to do better concurrency. We can lock at the row level.
Yeah.
Previously, in 2014, we could lock only at larger granularity, which So now with the row level locking, we can do much better concurrency when you're having multiple threads updating the data.
Yep.
And it is a significant change for merge operation. Like merge operation is a very common operation in data warehouse, right? Because what you say, I'm loading the data. If the row exists, I want to modify. If the row does not exist, I want to insert.
Yep.
Now imagine this, right? If I'm doing that operation with the B tree on top of it, I can just lock the row, right?
Yeah, and that
is actually huge for us.
Yeah, and that's, you know, from a DB, you know, from a SQL perspective, a lot of us understand the whole row locking thing. And so this is kind of a new, this will be, you know, probably very welcome because like, okay, great, now I can lock at the row level and not impact the rest of the
Exactly. And I think we went a step beyond that. What we have done is we can load now in parallel. So this is actually very interesting because we always load in parallel.
Yep.
But now imagine this, right? You have a staging table, right? Typically what happens, people load data from outside into a staging table, massage it, and then load into the warehouse, right?
Yeah.
So when you load from the staging table to the column store, what you say, insert into column store, select star from a staging table, right?
Yep.
But that insert was single threaded. You could read in parallel, but you could
single-threaded. Yep.
But now with vNext, that insert will be parallel. So now you can move data from the staging table like that.
Wow. Okay. Really. So they're getting another performance improvement.
That's right. From a data load perspective.
From data load perspective. Yeah.
That's right. So as I said,
Make more available much quicker.
Absolutely. Right. So this is why we are so excited about because we are. As I said, fundamentally nothing has changed.
Yes.
Yeah. The data structure is same. Benefits are same. We are just making it much more rounded in the sense, much more rounded. I mean, to deal with a lot of workloads and make ETL and everything much, much faster.
This is perfect. Yeah. It was good in 14, even better in
It is definitely
better in vNext. Okay. This is great. So I think, so if you have any questions, so where can they, this is CTP2.
That's right.
Right? So is there, if they want to, if they want, for those watching, if they want to get more information on these changes, is there documentation out on the web that they can?
So with the CTP2 will be a public release. And so you should be able to download the bits and play with it.
Yep.
And our documentation will be updated to match the functionality in CTP2. And having said that, I mean, I'm a program manager. I love hearing from you guys. You can send me mail. I'll be more than happy to respond to your questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. So what we'll do is we'll put your, if it's okay, maybe we'll put your email address in the description of they can contact, reach you out there.
Sure.
Awesome. So, no, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. All right. We'll see you. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. We'll
see
you next time.